Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The two early season trends continued last night in the National Hockey League. Welcome to Hockey Central at Noon, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet, as well as the NHL Network. I'm Darren Millard, bringing you into the HC studios, along with former National Hockey League coach, general manager, and team president, Doug McLean, and Nick Kypreos, who won a Stanley Cup of the New York Rangers. The big news from Montreal is the perfect start continues, 7-0. We'll chat with Jason York in just a little bit, as well as John Klingberg from the Dallas Stars, the defenseman, great young prospect, guy that you should be hearing more of. As his career develops, a great start to his season and his career. But the major news, the breaking news that developed this morning is that the Columbus Blue Jackets, in a winless start to this season through seven games, have made a change at head coach. Todd Richards is out and John Tortorella is back in. The Vancouver Canucks getting a second round draft pick, also retain some of that that salary. But John Tortorella takes over an 0-for-7 team.
Yeah, and I honestly thought it could have happened 2 or 3 days ago. He got one more crack at it. You cannot give up 6 goals a game. You can't, and I'm sorry. You know, regardless whether he's a good guy or not, regardless if you're a good coach or not, when your expectations are that high and you can't win a hockey game in 7 tries and you're outscored like that, you should lose your job. That's the reality. Tortorella comes in, is he the right guy or not? It's such a cycle when it comes to good cop, bad cop type of coaches, right? So Richards probably now is leaving with the perception that he was too soft on the players, so you go over the top and you get this hard ass. None bigger than Tortorella, but that's what they think that they need. Go get him.
Yeah, I was told 4 days ago that they were making calls about Tortorella.
You didn't like it.
Mentioned it to you that I thought that I knew they were making calls about him and that there was a good chance it may happen. I'm not a Tortorella fan.
Why?
I just, you know what? I thought his last couple of years in Tampa, the team wasn't very well coached. I didn't like the style the New York Rangers played. I know he had some success there. I just didn't like it. I don't dislike John Tortorella. I don't know him. I've met him a couple of times in my life, but I don't know him. Vancouver was just a complete disaster. Now, what, you know, Mike Gillis didn't hire him. The ownership forced the hire on Mike Gillis.
What kind of coach is he, though?
Well,
because so much is paid to his press conferences and the challenging of Bob Hartley, and that it distracts from what kind of coach
right.
he is.
And I think I go back to when I hired Ken Hitchcock. You know, I had to fire Gerard Gallant, which crushed me to have to do that because he was a lifelong friend and acquaintance, and I.
But
hated
you felt the pressure to go get.
No, I had no
a guy.
No, I didn't feel the pressure. I was told to fire him, or I was getting fired. Simple as that.
Yeah, but you still could have gone in different directions than Hitchcock, who had a pretty tough reputation.
To be quite honest, it was a situation where there was, you know, hire. You know, the pressure was unbelievable to hire a Hitchcock type of guy. And that was same thing you just mentioned, good cop. So I interviewed Hitchcock. Hitchcock is a terrific interview. Hitchcock, you know, I went to the owners. It was really funny. I went to the owners and said, I want to hire Hitchcock. And they said, no, I want you to hire the other guy that you interviewed. And I said, no, we got to hire Hitchcock. We got to hire Andy Murray. Andy Murray was the two guys I interviewed. And they said, no, we want you to hire Andy Murray. Mr. McConnell said that to me. And I said, no. And Don Boyd, Jim Clark were sitting right there with me. J.P. McConnell was sitting there and Mike Priest, who was their accountant. And now whatever, president, or he's a power broker there now, I guess. So anyway, I said, no, we got to hire Ken Hitchcock because he's won a Stanley Cup and we need the credibility in the community. That was in November. And, you know, they agreed. They went with the Hitchcock hire. So anyway, I get where they are in Columbus.
So you think the same thing played out here again in Columbus?
There's no doubt the same thing played out here, that there was big time pressure from ownership to make this change.
Okay, tell me about Tortorella as a coach. What does he bring as a coach?
You know what? I think I chuckle when they say, well, he brings great structure. So let's see if he brings great structure. Here's the bottom line. He's an NHL coach who's coached a lot of games in the NHL. How different is he from anybody else? I think he's very similar to lots of coaches. He comes across as a tough guy. We'll see if he is. The bottom line is here. If he does one thing, if he gets Bobrovsky to play better, he's going to have a much better
team. Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Buffalo Sabres, that starts off with Hockey Central at 6:30, 7 o'clock, to the point as well. We'll have a conversation on John Tortorella.
The focus is not about Tortorella and what type of coach he is.
It's the antics.
It's the, you know, if he was a player, we'd be talking about him off the ice and a distraction. Tortorella's biggest problem is he shoots himself in the foot, either with
media,
with what he says in press conferences, which people seem to enjoy. Everybody's talking about, oh boy,
he's pretty good with that in Vancouver.
We're going to entertain.
Yeah, he cleaned that up in Vancouver. Give him credit for that.
You know what? And then he cleaned it up and then he threw it all away with one decision to go to Calgary's dressing room.
Totally.
Right? Yeah. And that's the issue here, is that we've stopped talking about, you know, I like him. If you get him away from that atmosphere, you talk to him one-on-one, you say, the guy loves the game. He's passionate. He's had success. He's won. So what's the issue? Well, the issue is, you know, when's he going to lose it again?
And I think you can't be in the NHL this long and not know the game. The question is, what do they need right now in Columbus? Well, there's no doubt they needed a change. And you say, okay, what do we got to do? Well, we got to bring in a tough guy. We got to bring in a guy that's going to be really hard on these players. Okay, now the question is he the right guy for Johansson? Is he the right guy for Bobrovsky? Is he the right guy for Ryan Murray? We don't know that. And it'll be interesting to see. I'll tell you one thing. There's no way they're not a lot better team than what they've shown. Come on. We all picked them to challenge for a playoff spot this year. So they should be better. They should be much better. They should probably be a 500 team right now. Bobrovsky has been horrible. Their defense has been horrible. So did they have a choice? No. I hate to see Todd Richards get fired. I hate to see any coach get fired.
Bring you the developments with the Calgary Flames in just a moment and an article from Mark Spector. It's Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Doug McLean, and Nick Kyprios. As a player, you know all of, and Brandon Dubinsky can speak to John Tortorella because he had him in New York and wasn't a big fan of John Tortorella's. But as the 20 other players that are up with the team right now, Nick, What do you think is going through their heads right now, knowing all the background and the noise about John Tortorella and off the ice?
Their concern shouldn't be Tortorella coming in. Their concern is, why am I not playing well? That's it. Like, if you do your job, then you can look Tortorella in the eye, John Davidson, anybody you want, and say, That's what I have on me. I know the back of your mind, you're asking yourself, is Tortorella gonna like me? Can I win him over? I get all of that.
We all have had new bosses come in, and you're either looking forward to it, or you're like, what's this gonna mean?
But you're nervous.
That's okay.
But the bottom line is, they're gonna play better.
They gotta play better, Darren. It doesn't matter if it's Tortorella or Richards or Keenan. It doesn't matter who's behind the bench. Play better. Be a professional. Come to work every day and do your job. That's where you got to start. And then once you get there, then you can start asking yourself whether the coach is going to like you.
This is a real defining moment, too, for Kekalainen and John Davidson. They come into Columbus. They've been praised to the nth degree about how they've changed the culture in Columbus. It's now a winning. Now it's positive.
You know,
I
tell you what.
And you know what? This is a big move for them.
Listen,
and JD has always been a fan of Tortorella from his New York Ranger days. He's always been a fan of Tortorella. So this is a big move. And you know what? I have no doubt they're going to be a better team.
And if
I have no doubt they will be.
If you're the GM or the president right now, you didn't want to play this card this early. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Not a chance.
Not with their schedule coming up. Not a chance.
Now you lose that card to play, Now the onus is on upper management moving forward.
Boys, this is a $68 million team that's on the ice. This is a team that's got 68 plus million spent. Their expectations from an ownership point of view, from a dollar, is through the roof. Fans are wild in Columbus right now. And you know what? I don't blame them. So this is a big move. I hope it works out for them. But the bottom line is, they better get the second highest paid goaltender in the NHL. They better find a way to get him playing better.
Who didn't even play last night.
Who didn't play imagine Todd Richards knows his job's on the line and he can't play his $7.2 million goalie. Come on, what do you think about that?
We'll expand on that, reflect on what John Tortorella has to say as well on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey and Hockey Central tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs against the Buffalo Sabres, two teams that have had an opportunity to spend a lot of time on the practice side of things going into this one. Jake Gardner is hurt. Elliot Friedman reporting will not play in this one tonight. There's also news out of Calgary where Carey Rahmo is on waivers. Attempt to try and sort out their goaltending the first step.
We said
on that
yesterday that was Bob Hartley's message to his management team.
Yeah.
Okay. Three ain't working. Get rid of one.
I'm surprised at that, though. We said last night on the broadcast, I thought Hiller would be the guy that would go on waivers at 34 years of age.
Mac,
and Hiller, four plus million.
Hiller was their goalie in the playoffs.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine. I just thought, you got a 29-year-old, you got a 34-year-old, you got, you know, Hiller. To me, I would have thought he would have been the guy, but it doesn't matter. They've got to find a way to get Ortio in there. It's a colossal disappointment right now in Calgary. The way they played last night was frightening.
I know you guys
first period was good.
Hamilton going -7 and that Oshie coverage in front of the net or the
Ovechkin 2-on-2. I felt for Hamilton last night. He was god awful, and he's a lot better player than that. We know that. But the chemistry between him and Giordano was not there.
Wow.
They were -3 blatant cost. Weidman, who's had a great career year last year, caused a goal. Four of their goals were by their veteran defense last night. And hey, in fairness, Washington's got a heck of a team. You picked them to win the cup, did you?
I did, but
they're a heck of a team right now.
You can find out more on the Calgary Flames on Sportsnet.ca, an article from Mark Spector just talking about Brad Treliving and what he's exploring on the trade market and what the Calgary Flames will do going forward. So, but Columbus is off to a winless start, and Calgary with just one win.
Yeah. You know what? It's going to be interesting. And Nick, you talked about it on Saturday night. They wanted Hamilton Giordano to work, and then Brody would come back and how they would do their top six. But right now, the minute Brody comes back, he's got to go back with Giordano. Then you've got to say, okay, Russell, Weidman, and Hamilton have to fight it out for the 3-4 spot as to who's going to play there. Or you've got to desperately try to move one of those guys. Like last night after the second period, they went with Russell and Hamilton as a pair. I thought it was a good pair. Chris Russell, pretty solid guy. Easy to play with. I thought it was a better look.
It
so
really
it'll be interesting.
Stung
so
them.
He's got to move. He's got to move a defenseman.
It
probably.
Really stung them that they lost Brody during preseason.
Totally,
because it didn't even give you a chance to see how that dynamic would work. And now, hopefully Brody's back in what, in another week, 10 days. I'm not sure,
but
now you don't get that process of preseason to see how it fits. Now your backs are against the wall to get this thing going ASAP before Calgary finds themselves in a situation where they can't get themselves out of this hole.
So you've got to realize too that this is still a rebuild in Calgary. And you look at their number one line, which they changed last night. Monahan, still a kid. A couple years in the league, still a kid. Goudreau, 1 year in the league, still a kid. They moved Frolik up on that wing last night. He's not a number one guy, but he played pretty well last night. Hurdler go. So there's still a rebuild going on.
Well, they had seven guys that had career years last year.
Yeah, it's still a rebuild.
Well, we've seen this movie before with the Avs, did we not?
Yeah.
Where Varlamov had a career year.
But their defense
and all
had
of a sudden it's like, hey, like nobody saw Calgary or Colorado making the playoffs any more than anybody saw Calgary last year.
I think if this start happens a year ago,
You wouldn't blink.
No.
But right? Let's not forget, their defense had a career year last year. Yeah. Their defense produced 200 points last year from the back end. I mean, that's unbelievable. So I thought their defense looked to be real good
this
year.
Giordano's still coming off. And we talked about it. Remember, did you talk to the doctor? Yeah.
Greg Wells.
That's a unbelievable surgery that he went through, one that you rarely see. Mm-hmm. And that can't be easy coming back and playing after that injury at the top of your game.
Boy, a week ago, things were tight in
Edmonton.
And
he scored a nice goal last night.
Yeah, it was good to see him get it in the third, get going. So
things were tight in Edmonton.
Bob Hartley's got to figure this out soon, too.
And now tonight with Calgary with just one win, Edmonton out for a third straight victory. It's a doubleheader on Sportsnet 1, Buffalo and Toronto. And then coming up at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, Detroit Red Wings against the Edmonton Oilers. It's nice to see some positive vibes around that unit. I don't know. Tonight will be a tough test against a more structured team. But there's going to be some great young talent, McDavid and Larkin, in the same game tonight. Sportsnet 1.
Yeah, and we're seeing the comfort zone now. McDavid's hitting for the first time. I like Yakupov with him. I don't think that you can have two guys that like to carry the mail. I think Yakupov is a pure shooter. If he can just find those holes, like we saw on that the one goal that they scored Sunday night, that to me is the way probably it should work out. So that, what is it, Mac to Yak?
Making history here, Doug. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Making his Hockey Central at Noon debut, John Klingberg of the Dallas Stars.
Oh, great.
Are you nervous coming on? It's Doug McLean, Darren Millard, and Nick Kiprios.
What's that?
Are you nervous at all coming on the program for the first time?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
talk to me about your development as a player. You're just 23 years old, but a lot of people are just starting to get to know you with the Dallas Stars and your ability to move that puck.
Yeah, well, I started as a forward when I was a kid. I transferred to D-man when I was 15, so since then, I've been working pretty hard with my defensive game, and I think it's been a lot better, but I'm still working pretty hard to be a better defenseman. And, well, obviously, I got those offensive instincts left from when I was a forward. So I'm just trying to keep develop my defensive game, and right now it feels pretty good.
John, who made that decision to move from forward to defense? Was it the coach or was it you? Why?
I think my dad, yeah? My granddad, they felt like I saw the game better as a D-man than I did as a forward, so I could like get the puck up to the ice from the back end. So I tried for one or two games there, and I felt pretty fast that I like this position better. So I kept playing D from then.
Hey, John, it must be fun as a defenseman to look up the ice and see all that firepower. And Mac, is that the best line in the league right now? Say again,
yeah, well,
Ben and Sharp.
That's what I do right now. I just try to make an easy pass to one of those guys, and they take care of the rest.
You know, I hadn't watched your team a lot this year, John, and I happened to pick up and watch the entire Florida game, and to watch the way that happened in the second half of that game, to see that line come alive, to see you get the puck through on a big goal from the point, it looked to be, and I know your team has been pretty good all year, but that second half of that Florida game looked to be a real coming out party for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, well, I think that's something we've been learning the last couple of years here. I think our best players like Jamie and Tyler, they're pretty young, so they're still learning too. But I can see they start fitting in that role as our best players. And last year we had a little struggle with our defensive game and even with the turnovers. But I think we have a good start this year, and I feel like the team is going in the same direction here, and that we're all on the same page and know what to do. So it feels pretty good now, and I think we should just keep going the same way and stick together.
John Klingberger is with us, Dallas Stars defenseman, member of the all-rookie team last year, chatting with Hockey Central at noon, Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McClain.
Now, Lindy Ruff was my assistant coach in Florida, and he was one of the funniest guys I've ever been around.
He wrote a bull once, didn't he?
Yeah, and I hear right now he's not that funny a guy as a head coach. Is that true?
I think he is really funny, but I think he's keeping some distance to the player, and I think that's good too. But what I heard, he's a great guy. And
you heard that?
Yeah, I heard that.
you haven't come to realize, but you've heard that rumor.
Yeah.
Well, it's out there.
You know what? Sometimes when he's in the mood, he seems like a really nice guy. He's funny.
He wasn't that funny when you guys lost to Colorado 6-3 in the second game, was he?
No, he wasn't.
He read you guys the riot act, did he not?
That's what I think is good, too. You know, I think we're all learning here, like the guys in the team and the coaches, we're still getting together and stuff like that. So, well, I think it's getting better and better every day, and I think we're on the same page and in the same direction now.
Ask him when you see him. Say, Doug McClain wanted me to ask you about the time you rode a mechanical bull.
No, don't. Okay. Don't. Listen,
major step last year on the ice. I'd like to think this is a bit of your coming out party off the ice to get to it'll show your personality. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, good luck, bud.
Thank you.
You know what? There's a lot of questions about their blue line starting the season and how, you know, Goligoski, Demers, you know, this. Everybody knew this guy was going to be a top guy.
Two big pickups, Oduya, putting Stanley Cup champions in there, big in Sharp and Oduya.
Oduya, they tell me he's been everything and more than they expected. So, and Sharp, you see Sharp playing on the big line. He sent Sega in on a great play the other night. So, you know, I hope they have a good year.
See, when we do those predictions, I just can't go to favorites. So I had Dallas and Washington in my final.
You did, eh?
Yeah, but they're...
You had Carolina winning it 1 year, too, if I'm not mistaken, a couple years ago when Kirk Muller was
there. I think it was the year they went to the final against Edmonton. That's when I had Carolina. You're right. I was way off on that one.
That's okay.
But it's their
Who's your buddy in Dallas? Who's your buddy in Dallas?
I don't have a buddy. Lindy's my buddy.
All your picks are based on buddies.
We've shared a mechanical bull story. No buddies. No buddies. I'm a pro, man. I'm
St. Louis, it was Robbie DeMaio.
Yeah.
Should we go down your buddy list? A lot of them.
At least I'm consistent.
Let's not go there.
Some of them have been in trouble with the law lately.
Yeah, let's not go there.
I'm telling you, I at least own it.
Try to have buddies this year with a clean record.
His newest friend is Erin Andrews because she gets she helps him with baseball
tickets.
You gotta
stop tweeting her so much.
She tweeted me.
Oh my gosh.
She tweeted me.
Honestly.
I don't blame you.
Erin's in town?
I'll give you that one. I'm going to give you that one.
I invited her to the studio.
Should we go
after
down to more buddy list?
I am not criticizing you for that.
No,
I am not.
No.
I'm complimenting you on that.
Actually, we look up to you. On that
On that one?
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you feel like you're like rubbing elbows with big stars when you...
A little bit.
I remember standing at the bar in L.A. It might have been me and you. And seeing Darren...
Why can't you just call it a restaurant?
Restaurant bar.
And like, Darren and his... we're at a restaurant.
Darren and his entourage sitting, having, you know, appetizers... Yes. And Erin Andrews happened to be with the group. And did they notice us or waved to us or anything? No.
It was like
Doug
and
Nick didn't exist at the restaurant.
Okay, for the record.
Right over our shoulders. I'm like, oh, those guys look familiar. I have no idea who they are, Erin.
Oh, that's Darren with them.
I know Erin, but I wouldn't say that we're besties or anything like that. So don't make it out to be.
Anyway, okay.
But I appreciate the compliments.
Did you pick the Rangers to win?
No,
the Cup. Who'd you pick?
No, I didn't. I picked Montreal.
Looking good. Looking good right now.
Anyway, I'm not going there.
When we continue, Jason York, Canadiens color analyst, will stop by, and we will also talk about Sidney Crosby, scored, and more on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, Toronto and Buffalo. What to expect tonight as we go back to the future? Nick Kiprios. Does a little bit of acting tonight.
You've been a star a lot lately.
That's when we continue. Hockey Central.
I apologize for that.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on sportsnet.ca and the NHL
Network. I don't know why.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Continuing with Hockey Central, this is Overtime. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean telling some buddy stories, some mechanical bull stories, which go right into the, you combine them, you get.
Can you share that one?
Bull stories.
Yeah, I mean, it was training camp, and we went to a restaurant, as Darren refers to them, and Lindy decided he was going to get on the mechanical bull.
Yep.
As an assistant coach, and I saw him get thrown from the mechanical bull, and he pulled his groin and couldn't
practice the next day.
He was on the
IR.
On the IR.
Those things are. Here's Jason York.
Why would they have a mechanical bull in a restaurant?
It was weird. Those things are evil because if you fall off early. Everybody laughs at you like you're a failure.
Yeah.
If you stay on for any length of time, the guy just cranks the dial, and then you get hurt.
So he was like full ultrasound and everything, eh? Yeah. Oh, gosh.
He's not listening to you anymore. He just totally tuned out.
You all right?
Is Doug McLean over there? We've lost him.
Are you okay?
No, I had to answer a question.
Jason York, the Montreal Canadiens are the NHL's version of a mechanical bull right now. They're throwing everybody.
Okay, who was on the bull? Was it Doug McLean or Lindy Ruff?
It was Lindy Ruff.
It was Lindy. It was
we need to get Lindy's side of the story before we can confirm anything.
Oh, that's great.
No, what are they doing with the mechanical bull in a restaurant, though? I couldn't believe it.
They got one. Actually, I'm sitting here about 200 yards from a restaurant that has a mechanical bull.
In Kanata,
there's a place called the Crazy Horse, and every Wednesday, they bring the bull out, and you can go ride it. So, Doug, next time you're in Ottawa, I'll bring you over to the Crazy Horse.
Have you ever jumped on?
I have not, no. Because you're in a – I don't know who would want to do that. You're in a restaurant, and there are all these people around watching you. You're going to fall off.
And you might have just eaten.
You might.
You know,
there's a good chance you have just eaten if you're in a restaurant.
Like, well, is there a mop and a pail right next to it?
I had some Jason York stories the other night. I was sitting at the airport in Fort Lauderdale, and a gentleman came over to me and introduced himself. And he used to be Jason York's agent, Pat Morris. And we talked for a half hour, and we had some great laughs about the old Jason York days and when we were trying to negotiate Jason York's contract in Detroit. Oh, my God, it was vicious. York, he hated my guts, eh?
Doug, you gave me my first one-way contract. Pat was able to trick you to convince you that I
But you hated player. Me on the previous one.
We totally understand. Yorkie, we totally understand.
Yeah, you work with him every day.
We do have to talk about Montreal or else the angry tweets are going to come in. You guys are talking about other stuff instead of the best team in the National Hockey League right now. If you take Carey Price out of the equation, who's been the most impressive player for you or maybe surprising player?
Most impressive, not surprised, Jeff Petrie. Most surprising player, Torrey Mitchell. Pretty easy answers. Torrey Mitchell was great last night. John and I did the game last night, John Bartlett, and Torrey Mitchell was a star on the broadcast. And Kent Hitchcock spoke about Montreal's four-line team now. And Doug, you know, used to coach in the league. A lot of teams say they are a four-line team, and they play their fourth-line guys 6 minutes. And Mitchell played, I think, over 13 minutes last night. And you know who else has been good guys is Smith Pelly. He only has the one assist. But he's about 10 pounds lighter. He's getting the pucks quicker now. He's a lot more fit, and he's just been a nice fit along with Brian Flynn on that fourth line. So those guys have been very surprising because none of them, with the exception of Smith Pelly, are your prototypical fourth line guys.
You know, Jason, long term, it's probably a great thing that everybody's getting minutes, everybody's happy, but it comes at a cost. And Galchenyuk, I think, only played maybe a minute more than Mitchell. And you wonder, like, we all know being in that environment, those top end guys like their cookies and they like their minutes. Do you see it continuing, or eventually do you have to get those star players a little bit more on the ice?
Well, how about this one? Nick, Desharnais is averaging, I think, 13 and change this year. Last year he was around 17 minutes. It's totally changed in Montreal with Galchenyuk. He got off to a good start. He had the 3 points, I think, in game two against Boston. But I don't think he's quite there yet as a frontline guy. I think as long as you keep, to your point, Pacioretty, Plekanec, he's not going to complain, but Pacioretty's happy. He's still getting his minutes. Gallagher's getting his minutes. And I think Galchenyuk still has a ways to go, in, at least in my opinion, until he becomes that real frontline guy.
Jason, I didn't really like, I thought there was some real questions on their blue line this time last year, you know, with Gonchar, Markov, you're not sure about injury situations. You know, Beaulieu was, you know, is he going to make it? Is he going to be in the minors? Tenorti, is he going to make it? Is he going to be in the minors? Emelin, lots of questions about his hockey sense at time. But I'll tell you, when they brought, Beaulieu has developed, obviously. Petrie, as you said, has been a real nice find. Bergevin deserves some credit for that, because when he was in Edmonton, there was a ton of questions about him. But I'll tell you what, he and Beaulieu on that second power play unit has been good. And that 3-4 Emelin Petrie combo has been real nice. And even Gilbert and Beaulieu has been a nice 5-6.
Exactly. Well, remember when Gilbert was in Florida, he was playing like a number two guy. He had those great analytical stats. He's a guy to me that's really suited for today's game. He moves the puck. He's not real physical, but you don't have to be anymore. Makes good plays, has a good stick. Beaulieu slides in nicely in that third pairing. And with Petrie, doesn't he remind you a lot of Jay Bouwmeester, the way they play? And remember Bouwmeester when he was in Calgary, everybody thought he was done. They're all over him. Then he comes to St. Louis. He's got Pietrangelo and Shattenkirk in front of him. So he just has to be a good number three. And that's exactly with Petrie in Edmonton. He was getting booed out of there, and now in Montreal, doesn't have to be a number one. He's a perfect number three. I think he said that in the broadcast we did, Doug. He just slides in so perfectly, and he handles the puck, and Yemlin doesn't really have to make any plays anymore. He just go D to D to Petrie, and that's a good play. And all six of those guys have now slotted in right where they should be, so nobody's really guessing what their role is.
Yeah, and like, I'll tell you what, a lot of people have criticized Gilbert, but you're right. Him and Beaulieu have become a real nice 5-6, and Gilbert can play a long time with the way he's playing and the smarts he's playing with right now. So, hey, I got to give Bergevin a ton of credit.
Okay, so, Jason, does that mean now 7-0, all in regulation?
We haven't even mentioned Subban.
Do we anoint the Montreal Canadiens as the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, or still too small of a sample size?
Still too small. The big thing, and I'm going to say it, we all know this, the thing they have that nobody else has, it's Carey Price. And when they do falter, and last night, in St. Louis was all over them in the first 10 minutes. It could have been 3 or 4 nothing. So when they do take a step back, I didn't think it was possible. The numbers, as we all know, you have a year like Price had last year, I didn't think he was going to be able to play at that level, and he hasn't. He's played better. Like, it's crazy. He's actually been better this year than last year. And doesn't he remind you? I think I was listening to you guys on Saturday, and Kelly brought up the name Dominic Hasek. And it's not that they play alike, because totally different styles, but totally. And you played against Dominic, and Doug, you coached in the league. And Darren, we were all covering when I played against Hasek. He started to get in the minds of the other team, and you started to think you had to be pinpoint perfect. And I see a lot of teams miss the net on Price, the Rangers especially. They had so many opportunities where they shot high.
Just think you have to be perfect against a guy like that.
Exactly. So right now, the team to beat, to me, I have a hard time thinking – they're not going to continue this pace, obviously, but Price is just so good. There's no other player in the league right now that is as valuable to their team as Carey Price is, and that's why he won the Hart Trophy last year.
Jason, they've got to have the big horse down the middle for me to be that Stanley Cup contender. And I hope that Galchenyuk, look, I love the way the kids played at times. Can he and Plekanec be that strong enough 1-2 punch in April when they've got to go head-to-head against the big boys at playoff time?
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Eastern Conference right now, Dougie, and you look around the East, how many teams really have that big...
Yeah.
Like that guy...
Tampa doesn't.
in the West, you see it all over the place. You got Getzlaff, you got Taves. Backus, I guess you could say, is the guy in St. Louis, although he struggled in the playoffs, but they have just so much depth up front. I think they'll be okay in the Eastern Conference. I really do. And they're kind of almost a number one center ace by committee. Desharnais done an excellent job in the three slot, and that's created actually a lot of mismatches for other teams because, well, last night he was matched up against Gomez. Mm-hmm. And Desharnais is going to win that all night long. So I think the depth really helps them. Do they need that guy? I don't think they do for the Eastern Conference because I don't know if that guy exists.
Well, just think about the Tampa Bay series. I mean, you go Pekanic against the Johnson line, and then you've got to match up against Stamkos. And I think Stamkos is going to be a horse this year, playoff time.
You do, right?
Depends whether he's in the middle or in the wing.
Well, hopefully he'll be in the middle.
Did it not look like he was not that he lost his confidence, but it just seems they have that big line. They got the big line with little guys there. And for Stamkos, he's like, well, where do I fit?
What team will he be on at the end of the year?
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, okay. I've got an update on that in just a moment. Jason, we're going to do this a lot more. One, because it's fun. And the other, because the team's going great. Really appreciate you stopping
by.
Thanks,
Jason.
My pleasure.
So what you're saying, if the team isn't going really great, we're not going to have Yorkie on.
No, I said one because it's a lot of fun.
I'm going to tell you. Hey,
because it's a lot of fun. Just the next three games for Montreal. If when you're looking at this 7-0 start, Buffalo, in Buffalo, at home to Toronto, and then in Vancouver.
You know what, guys, I've listened to a lot of Montreal games this year. Jason York has become a really, really good color analyst in the NHL. He's easy to listen to. He's knowledgeable. I think he's terrific. And I happen to like him, and that's good.
Suck up to him because you screwed him over in negotiations.
Yeah, I was,
don't do that now.
I felt bad about
it's embarrassing.
It. But I did bring him up and get him into the NHL. I was the guy that called him up.
Mark Spector has an article on Sportsnet.ca. Flames seeking a big trade to clean up a mess. This is a sentence we even heard that Brad Trey Living is talking about here. His conversation with Tampa Bay general manager Steve Yzerman was all about the Lightning's obvious issues with signing soon-to-be unrestricted free agent Steven Stamkos.
So they're going to trade him to Calgary, is what you're saying?
I never said that.
No, that's what Spector's saying.
Just read Mark Spector's. Well, I think, said it, but it wasn't my
I think
my
there's a few conversations as early as the draft about Stamkos.
So you say he's not going to be in Tampa in April, Kip?
I don't believe he will be, but all depends on how badly Steven wants to stay in Tampa and what he's willing to sign for. If it's market value, I just don't see... I don't see them paying him $10 or $11 million, which I think he could get on the market.
October 21st, 2015, the earliest ever trade deadline discussion.
There was some.
I noticed today he's our leading goal scorer with five goals
today.
There
was some speculation
that
would
be too quick to trade.
There was some speculation at the draft that perhaps there might have been conversations about Stamkos to Buffalo for the second pick overall.
Eichel.
So.
We'll skate on Scotia. So, we'll see hockey tonight.
But the thing is, but at the draft to July 1st, was there was that small window where he could have got traded, and now he's got a no move that's kicked in. So for Stamkos to go to Buffalo or Calgary, he has to okay it. That really puts him in a driver's seat. Does he want to be in Calgary for the next 8 years?
So if he goes to Calgary, the only way that happens is if Monahan is a part of that deal and. I mean, that would be something.
Is all right in the world with Sidney Crosby scoring last night?
Yeah. Sid was good.
Yeah, it was Sid.
Did you see the controversial offside last night to end the game?
But you're not allowed to call that at that particular time, are you? That the coach's challenge with a minute left and in overtime?
That's the league's call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the league has to make
that
call.
Yeah, they did. They did
last
night.
The league made the call.
The league made the call. But the problem was the puck was like 8 feet in the air. There's just no way you can ever pick that up.
So was it offside?
It may have been. But
they couldn't.
You're not seeing enough to change it.
So that's... So it's not perfect. Stay with us.
It's not perfect.
So...
But... If you want to get it
the
right,
last what are we going to do to him? The last minute in overtime, a coach can't call the coach's challenge.
The league.
The league has to. Okay.
Yeah. Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey.
Learn something new on Hockey Central.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to hear the show.
Buffalo and Toronto tonight. Jonathan Bernier will start in goal for the Maple Leafs. Darren Pang is going to take us a look on Hockey Central at 6:30 Eastern Time. Just what's going on with these early goals, whether there's a trend there. We'll also have a long discussion on John Tortorella being hired by the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Nick Kypreos is going to get some, I'm not going to give away the whole thing, but this is a very important day in pop culture, because this was the day that Marty McFly went to the future. Back to the Future 2. And the DeLorean
makes an appearance.
We found a DeLorean
tonight,
and Nick Kypreos got to drive a DeLorean that's totally decked out like the Back to the Future DeLorean.
I can't wait to see this.
You have no idea what the Back to the Future franchise is.
Yes.
No, except I know what the DeLorean is, because I was in Detroit when DeLorean used to have breakfast at the same place, me and Mr. DeLorean, on the east side of Detroit. It was a famous market, and he came every Saturday morning. DeLorean was there. So I don't know about the damn movie, but I know about DeLorean.
Did you get into the car?
No, he didn't even know who the hell I was. And he didn't. I just used to stare at him and think, what a genius.
So you don't know anything about the Back to the Future franchise?
He was as famous as the Tesla guy in those late 80s.
Did you not go to any movies? Like, now you go
one
to
movie.
You go to movies all the time, you know, now.
Did Jill ever take you to, like,
no,
the
now
way
you
we go.
Amy, I went to the Barbara Amy Streisand. Schuler. I went to the Amy Schuler train wreck this summer. I went to that one.
That was pretty funny.
That was a great.
Now you go to movies, but you missed about two decades.
I was working. I was working for two decades. Now I'm sort of not working that much.
So train wreck. So let me get this. That train wreck's a movie with Amy
Schuler,
and
isn't
it's not a documentary on the early years of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Okay, and you know what? I've been gone for eight. Hey, just a minute. I've been gone.
I gotta get it straight.
I've been gone for 8 years. There was a guy by the name of Scott Housen there after me.
That was the sequel, Trainwreck 2.
Everybody seems to forget that I wasn't replaced by Kekalainen and John Davidson. And it doesn't appear to be getting better anytime soon.
It's, you know what, though? Driving a DeLorean decked out as Back to the Future, that's kind of cool. So I can't wait to see it.
It's really cool.
Toronto-Buffalo at 7 o'clock. Hockey Central tees you up at 6:30. That's Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet 1. And then following that on Sportsnet 1, Detroit and Edmonton. We will get you started with that one on Sportsnet 360. You won't miss anything, and then we'll pick it up on Sportsnet 1. That game starts at 9:30 Eastern time.
The name was Schumer. Schumer.
Yeah, Amy Schumer.
Schumer.
You both got it wrong. You both got it wrong.
So
you can't even tag him with this one.
So I'm just getting a note.
And you both said you went to the movie. Kari Ramos on waivers.
All right. Are we done? Is the show over?
No.
I want to leave.
You just said you got a note and you were going to talk about something.
Oh, we need a big Blue Jay win. That's all.
Yes.
And, the Cazzarola is under tremendous amount of pressure
for a win. You fallen off the bandwagon this time last week?
No, I'm good.
Just a minute. This time last week, you had your jersey on, and I got carved for not wearing a jersey. I don't see you with the jersey on today.
It's a do-or-die game. The jersey comes out on an elimination game for both teams. I don't want to.
Oh, okay.
I may bring it out. I'll need to bring it out for game 7.
Okay.
Saving it for game 7.
Can you get me one?
In the meantime.
I'm not buying one. Can you get me one?
In the meantime, the Cazzarola's got to do some magic today.
Yes.
Okay?
Super Bowl. Toronto-Buffalo on Sportsnet 1. Detroit, Edmonton follows, but you can watch the start of that one if you on Sportsnet 360, Blue Jays on Sportsnet.
Just don't throw out the cazzarola as just a soup bowl, okay? This is not your average cookware, okay? It's over 50 years old. My Yaya Dizou passed it on to my mom. This is just not a soup bowl.
It's a soup bowl that you can't get back.
I expected to see it in that red van going to North Bay the other day.
That was the Dodge caravan me and my parents were in. Yes. Yes, it's a wonderful vehicle.
Where was the Kia?
No, the Kia's gone.
Oh, okay.
Thanks to John Klingberg, Dallas Stars defenseman. Started as a forward, switched when he was 15 years old to a defenseman.
Now, if you want a car, go see my buddy Gary Williams.
Jason York, Canadian's color analyst and amateur bull rider, mechanical bull rider. We'll talk to you tonight at 6:30 at Hockey Central. Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey follows at 7 o'clock Eastern Time.